College Volleyball Weekly, The Beach Report, with Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford, Matt Fitzpatrick of Florida State, and Rob on the mic. Now here are your hosts with The Weekly Report.
Hey, good day, everyone. I'm Rob Aspero with the Viral Volley Podcast, and we've got College Volleyball Weekly Beach Edition. This is the week five edition to recap all the information in week five. And from the left coast, we're going to go the other way this time. We have from Stanford University, the Cardinal, Charlie Ekstrom, playing the number one pairs currently. We think she'll stay there the rest of the season. And from the right coast, from Florida State University, number two ranked, playing in the number four pair, Mads Fitzpatrick. Thanks for coming on again, ladies.
Thank you for having us. Always a pleasure.
Yes, always the best.
It's like sunshine on both coasts right here. Hey, another exciting week. And, you know, there are teams that are hot. There are teams not so hot. But that's what I have here to talk about. So what teams or duels or pairings in week five caught your eyes? We're going to start with Charlie this time.
Well, I do have to give a shout out to our fiery twos, AVCA National Pair of the Week with Kate Riley and Zolani Hodel. They are our fiery freshmen, and they went 8-0 last week and were a big key to helping Stanford with some upsets in this last week. They're just a staple, and they're so secure and so just such an incredible addition. Like, I have to give them that little like wind because they're incredible additions. I think another team too that I want to just kind of touch on is Cal Poly going on an undefeated weekend yet again. Just honestly, that team is strong and they've been producing wins and like kind of getting that wind beneath their wings as season has progressed. They started off a little bit with a rough patch of a couple losses, and then as season has gone on, they've just been getting win after win after win.
Yeah, that would be a scary team to play right now. So, but let's keep going with like the matchups from week five. Mads, what do you got? What caught your eye?
Yep. So I'm going to brag on my girl, Charlie here. Stanford has been on the up and up, and they don't seem like they're going to stop anytime soon. They defeated Hawaii 4-1, GCU 3-2, and Arizona 3-2, earning themselves that number nine rank, which is so, so exciting for them.
Yeah, that is the biggest jump in the College Beach VB poll. That is a 10 spot jump. They're definitely the hottest team in that poll. And in the AVCA is a little different. Let me pull up my info sheet, but I believe it was only a 6-point jump or a 6-spot jump for Stanford. But nonetheless, they're definitely on the up and up. Charlie, how about you? Any other duels last week that caught your eye that or shockers, upsets?
I think a big win was the LMU versus Pepperdine match, LMU taking down Pepperdine 4-1. I think that was a big win for LMU, which they've produced some wins over ranked teams in the past, but that was one that was close and that they came out on top, and they came out definitively on top of.
Yep. Well, unfortunately for Pepperdine, there's the same result, 4-1 today, LMU over Pepperdine at Malibu. So, but we'll talk more about the next week. So we'll consider it next week, but let's jump to Mads on anything else that she caught last week.
I've been really impressed with TCU. We got to play them, and so I got to watch them a little bit this past weekend. They took down number 16, South Carolina, number 17, Georgia State, and number 14, Stetson. So they've been just winning week after week, and they're a very impressive team with like strong players all throughout their lineup.
Yep. So I wanted to talk about Hawaii, which, Charlie, you started their season off, handing them off with probably one of the biggest upsets in your program's history. But, you know, we know they're better than what their record shows, but do you think it's because of a late start that they may have had this little stumble at the get-go?
You know, I have to give Hawaii a lot of credit. They have a lot of players that graduated, transferred, that opted out of this season. And so they're definitely in the process of a building season. They're really, really deep on freshmen, and there's a lot of freshman talent coming in. But I think with the lack of having quite as many practices, I think they had a similar situation of where they came in at the end of January and didn't get to start practice until right then, as a lot of us did. But having a lot of freshmen jump into the lineup and not having that kind of depth of a couple of months of backup, I think that that's a really, really tough start for them. But it was really fun for us. That's our first time ever beating Hawaii. And it was almost every single game was some heated competition. They are always competitors, but it's definitely more of a building season for Hawaii than it has been in the past years.
Yeah. Matt, I got a question for you for one of the teams on your coast. I mean, Florida State is on a 21 dual winning streak. Is that the correct number, or 20? It is insane. I saw the article on your website, and I'm like, I had no idea they were that on fire. But one of the teams that's on your side of the coast that I believe is as hot is TCU. They had wins over number 16, South Carolina. They beat number 17, Georgia State, and number 14, Stetson. Their only loss was to none other than your team. But can you share a little bit about where they're at here in after last week's play?
Yeah, after last week's play, I think they keep proving themselves worthy of that top 10 ranking. I think that they could make a surprise jump into that national championship, and I wouldn't be surprised. They've been winning super consistently. Their number one pair is so impressive to watch. Both of those girls are just insane beach volleyball players, so yeah.
I've got to remember their name, Daniela Alvarez and Tania Malieva. Sorry, ladies, if I got your name wrong, but you really, I mean, we're watching you. You're definitely catching our attention. So with that, we've started naming some of the top athletes we've seen, but let's go ahead and name a few more because I know there are some really good performances. We'll go back to Charlie. Who did you see this last week that really, really just performed awesome?
I think I'm going to give two shout outs, two teams that have just absolutely stood out. Is Fives at FSU. Shout out to Kate Privett and Jenna. They are on undefeated. I think they're a 19-0 or 20-0, something crazy like that. They've been just absolutely insane. Like, they have been putting up win after win after win. And I know, I mean, Mads, I'm sure that you know, like, that's just a staple win that you love to have at the Fives. Like, that's just such a security. And then also at the Fives are the Norse Twins of USC. I actually got to watch them in person a bit this week at the Pac-12 South Invitational. And I mean, they're fantastic to have a team that's that well-rounded at the Fives right. pair. I mean, it's just a fantastic look for USC.
How about you, Mads?
Yep. So I think a top performing team this past week was FAU. They didn't lose at all. They beat FIU, FGCU, Tulane, and Tampa. So they just continued to produce those wins, and they're always top performers.
Now, who are some of the top pairs? I mean, just so we get some names out there, if you're familiar with any of them. I mean, if you don't, that's okay. But I mean, I know they're putting up the results, but who's doing it for FGCU?
I said FAU.
FAU, okay.
But
we know Erica Brock, Mackenzie Morris. Yes, yes. We'll drop them. But I know that it's obviously a team effort, and that's what makes Collegiate Beach so exciting is, yeah, you may win the first two in the first flight, but anything can happen in the next flight. So, but there's some names, like, you know, for instance, at 4SC, it's been the ones, twos, and fives. For you guys, it's been the two, threes, and fives. Who else has been doing it for FAU?
FAU has a really strong four pair. Jill and Kayla, a smaller player and a taller player, big block. And then Jill is really fast behind her. So they always produce those wins. And then I believe it's their twos or their threes. They mix up their lineup a lot. Mm-hmm. But Savannah Passante, and I forget her partner's name. I think it's Caitlin Moon's little sister. But they're a really strong for FAU as well.
Right. Anything else to add there, Charlie, to our mix of athletes that performed, or Mads?
So I think going back to, I had mentioned Cal Poly at the start as a standout team, but I think a pair from Cal Poly that's really been standout has been their ones of Macy Gordon and Emily Sunny. They are on their third week in a row now of Big West Pair of the Week. And they have just been, I mean, it's pretty awesome. Like, they've been doing really, really well. I see that they've got a record of 12-3. And so, mm-hmm. I mean, they're putting up the wins, and they're just a secure win spot for Cal Poly to have.
Yeah. You know, also on Cal Poly, a pair that's, I guess, playing a lot better, or someone that's come back from injury, is Mariah Whalen, and she's playing with Tia Mirich. And I guess, I mean, I've seen them play before the season, and they're a pretty strong team together. And that Cal Poly team is going to be a team to watch, and, you know, which is going to be a great lead into what duels are you going to be watching this week? And I'm going to bounce over to Mads on this one first, and then we'll see what she has to say, and we'll bounce to you, Charlie.
I'm looking forward to the rematch of Hawaii versus Long Beach. Last time they played, Long Beach took that 3-2. So I'm looking sporting if Hawaii can bounce back and defeat them.
You know, it's interesting because Hawaii moved their lineup around during this last weekend. I'm curious if it's going to shift even more because one athlete was playing at the number ones. I saw her now playing at the number threes, Harley Keikaoha. So I think, you know, and Angela Jungvis is still playing with that lineup. So, you know, that there's going to be some good stuff coming out of there once they dial it in. Charlie, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to stay on the West Coast, but it's like a little mini East versus West tournament with FSU and LSU coming out to LA to play against USC and UCLA. All four of those matches, I think, are going to be the ones to watch. I mean, that's numbers 1 through 4 all taking each other on. So that's going to be heated duels throughout all four of those spots. And I think it'll be interesting to see who comes out on top, like who is going to come out in that FSU versus USC, the two undefeated teams in the nation right now.
Oh, no doubt. How about you, Mads?
Yes, I am also looking forward to that. I'm super pumped. It's time for FSU to prove themselves to be the number one spot. But I'm also looking forward to Cal Poly versus Stanford. Stanford, as I said, is on that up and up, and Cal Poly has been consistently winning. So I'm really excited to see if Stanford can take down Cal Poly.
All right, I'm going to jump on I didn't realize they were playing twice this week, but the battle for Arizona, Grand Canyon and Arizona are playing each other. Arizona has moved up in the rankings, and Grand Canyon's kind of dropped because of a few losses this last week by a certain person on the screen. It's team Charlie. But, yeah, I think both of those teams are really good. You know, obviously Grand Canyon's got their number ones of Tegan DeFalco and Ella Bowman. But I think the rest of the team is just need to step it up here, and Arizona is on the rise. So I think we could see a 3-2 nail biter in those two just for the Battle of Arizona. So I know there's more than that, so I'm going to go back to Charlie.
Yeah, I'm completely with you on that match. I was seeing that as well, and I was like, that's going to be a heated match, especially with GCU has been mixing up their lineup. I know that Tegan and Bella were split for last week, and Tegan played with Ali Hansen, the freshman at the ones, and Alanis Navas and Bella played at the twos. Like, those are two, I mean, they've been mixing partnerships, mixing locations of where pairs are playing at, and it's, I mean, GCU is a team that's going to battle, and U of A, I mean, we played against them last week, and they're another very gritty team. Yeah, I'm going to give a little self-promo for our team, though. We take on Berkeley this weekend for the Battle of the Bay. And I think that, I mean, it's always fun to have a rivalry match. But I think that this one will be even a little bit more of a rivalry match, as we're number 9 and 10 now. And so it'll be a little bit extra heated on top of that Cal Poly versus Day.
Well, you know, it's going to be a great matchup in the number ones. Obviously, one of the more animated personalities on the team is Mima Mirkovic. And she had a solid highlight reel this last week. And if you caught it, I think Holly McPeak posted on her Instagram. I just steal it and put it on mine. But her diving back no-look bump set to Caroline Schaefer, who hammered it against, was it Utah?
Maybe.
I just know it was a pretty solid hit, but I know this is a rivalry matchup, and rivalries always add that extra oomph to it to get that win and then, you know, talk a little smack over your opponents, but that will definitely be an exciting one to watch. Matt, how about you?
Yes, I'm also looking forward to Pepperdine versus GCU. I think we've all just been kind of waiting for Pepperdine to just shake off all the dust and start their winning streak. So I'm looking forward to see if they can start their winning streak by beating GCU. It's going to be a good match.
So it looks like Pepperdine's going to be in Arizona. They're in the Arizona Invitational. They also will play Arizona, which would be a big win. But GCU and Arizona would be some good solidifying wins to keep them at least in the top 15, I would hope. But you never know with poll voters on either poll. But, you know, people are watching those teams. I want to add in that I will be watching, you know, no offense, Charlie, but I'm going to be at some pretty big duels this weekend. I'll be keeping an eye. I'll have you on the stream if I can get bandwidth out there. But LSU at USC, actually anything where LSU and FSU are at, I'm going to be watching this weekend, which means they're going to be at USC and UCLA. So I'm just excited to see these athletes compete because, you know, obviously being 1 through 4, I mean, This is a preview of Gulf Shores weekend of what could be happening. You know, an upset happens, they could end up seeing each other earlier, which we've seen happen, which makes it so exciting to see. But I mean, you've got a bunch of undefeated pairs playing against each other and just and just some workhorse grinders. Like, you know, I think of Maddie Anderson, just the way that her and her flight a bit, or her pair has been playing this year. They like to go the distance and then beach in the third. So, you know, I just see nothing but high drama this weekend. Any other duels to check out this weekend? If not, we're going to go to our topical question. Are you guys ready to be put on the hot spot and be judged by your peers? No.
Yes.
Here we go. As we get closer to the NCAA championship, Collegiate Beach Championships, we obviously know three teams from the West, three teams from the East, and two at-large selections. I'm curious to what at-large teams are in the discussion for Charlie and Mads. We'll start with Mads on this one, since I've been picking on you, Charlie, at the number one.
Yes. I think that Stanford 100% deserves it. I'm not just saying that because you're here. I think that they are definitely an at-large selection that should go to the national championship.
There's one. How about you, Charlie? Let's go ping pong with all of us.
I'm going to go East Coast wise and say TCU. That's a team that has been battling all season and definitely is on that road to earning that spot.
Yeah. You know, I don't know where Cal Poly is going to fall in this whole mix, but I just feel like they're trending so far upward. You know, this is obviously a big week for them. They're playing Cal and Stanford, which could be a defining weekend, not only for Cal Poly, but for Big West teams, because, you know, essentially it's going to have, they're going to have, the team that comes out of the Big West, I think, has to win the Big West. So defining weekend. Any others there, Mads?
Yeah, I think LMU definitely deserves it after beating Pepperdine 4-1, and they've been having a very good, consistent season. I think that they're definitely an at-large team.
All right. And back over to you, Charlie.
I think I love that we're kind of bouncing. Our East Coast rep is repping the West Coast, and I'm repping the East Coast right now.
And it's unplanned. This is unscripted, people, just so you know.
Completely unscripted, but I'm going to go with FAU. I think that FAU is a team that, like Mads was saying, they just came off of an undefeated weekend and they've been putting up the wins. They've been doing the job to kind of get them there.
Right. You know, are there any outliers that could burst in? Like right now we're looking at some of the teams like FIU's kind of dropped in the AVCA poll. Hawaii's obviously dropped a lot. I mean, they're outside chances, but, you know, come conference tournament time, I wonder if things could change. And we've seen some upsets and I'm not sure. I've been trying to follow some of the information here. I know the Big West will be having conference tournaments, but I imagine the CCSA will still be having their tournament and the Pac-12 will be having theirs. But some of the other conferences, I'm not so sure because there's not as good of media out on them now. I imagine they have to be, like the WCC or the WAC. So what kinds of teams could be coming out of those other conferences if they went hot? Like, who has the potential to do that? And we'll start with you, Mads. In your region.
Going back from our conference, I think FAU and FIU both have the potential to make it to the national championships. FIU sometimes does, and FAU has never been given that chance. So I would love to see FAU have that chance to come in and beat those big teams.
All right, good call. Charlie.
Yeah, I think you'd mentioned West Coast Conference, and obviously you've mentioned Big West as your conference. I think that those two spots, I mean, Pac-12, honestly, we've all known that we've got the USC-UCLA powerhouse with us kind of coming up on the rankings just a bit. But we've also got, we've got Cal Poly in the Big West, and they are a strong team. And we've got LMU in the West Coast Conference, and they are a strong team. I think that LMU and Cal Poly are going to kind of compete for that last West Coast spot. And then whichever one doesn't get it will probably be in the running for that at-large spot.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this off camera, but I could see a pretty entertaining 16-team tournament if that were the case. Would you guys agree?
Oh my gosh, it would be ridiculous. I mean, we've talked about it so much, but I think that just a 16-team bracket is kind of bound to have so many upsets or so many like heated matches that we might not necessarily get from just seeing eight teams play.
Yeah. I wonder if, go for it, Mads.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I would absolutely love that. Like just the competition would be so much more widespread and it would be that much more intense leading up to the finals. I really, really would love for a 16 team tournament one day.
And if they get to keep that,
I was going to say NCAA, if you're listening, 16 bracket.
But the question is, do you keep it double elimination or one and done?
I love the double elimination. Like, that's helped FSU sometimes, but I get that that would take a very long time, but I'd be willing to play like 2 weeks of a national championship. That'd be awesome.
I wouldn't be opposed, but I'm here for both. I think that there's advantages and disadvantages to both a single elimination and a double elimination. So both of them are a fun time.
I could see a 5-day model working or a 4-day model in a double elimination, because you're used to playing multiple duels in each day, especially with COVID. Now we're seeing multiple double headers. We've seen teams play 3 in one day. So I don't know. I think the atmosphere with Collegiate Beach may allow for something like that to happen, to keep the double elimination, which would keep the excitement up, you know, just like in AVP or FIVB tournaments, you know?
Oh, yeah.
All right. So here, final question of our episode is, what names are coming up, bless you, for discussion as mid-season All-Americans? We'll start with you, Charlie. Go back to you in the number one spot.
I'm looking at, for a number one, I think it's an obvious choice of Tina Graudina and Sammy Slater.
Yep. Now they are, I don't know if this has been updated, lists them at 11-0, but I feel like they've won more than that. I think it may be more, but for sure. I agree with you.
I think they are 11-0 because USC had only 2 games this weekend at the Pac-12 mm-hmm. South. So I think that they are 11-0. I think that that's accurate.
I think it's FSU's 21-0 that's throwing me off. I'm seeing such a big number. Like, why is everyone only like 16 or 15 right now?
FSU's been having some grinder weeks. That's what they've been having.
All right. How about you, Mads? What names are coming up for you in the All-American discussion, mid-season All-American?
I think definitely Lexi Dannenberg and Savvy Simo, both fantastic players, constantly winning. I think that they should definitely be in the discussion.
Yeah. I'm going to throw one in there. Kristen Nuss and Taryn Cloth. Wonder why. Undefeated, 18-0. And they, watching them dismantle teams, I mean, the way to describe it is they're like two surgeons. They play such textbook volleyball. You know, one is totally blocking and funneling the attack towards the defender. They just don't make a lot of mistakes. And if you do make a mistake, they capitalize on you and they hammer it on you. So, and they're undefeated. So this weekend, it's going to be so exciting to see all these number one teams going at it. And how many people will be watching Kristen Nuss, Taryn Cloth against Tina Graudina and Sammy Slater, you know?
Oh my God.
Can we pause our match at UCLA to watch that one? Yeah. So anyone else, Charlie?
Yeah, I'm going to say Tori Van Winden and Kira Rutz of FSU. I mean, they've been AVCA pair of the week in the past. They've just been consistently producing wins and consistently just doing incredible things. Like, that's a pair that definitely needs to be looked out for.
Yep. Go for it, Mads.
Yep. I'm going to say Macy Gordon and Emily Sunny. As you said before, I think that they won their conference pair, like 3 weeks in a row. They are wild and gnarly, and I love Macy's passion for the game. I think that they definitely deserve to be All-Americans.
Yep. I'm going to dump two on you because they're playing both at the number three position, Savannah Slattery and Emma, Jesse Pritchard. They're 10-1 or 9-1 at the moment, along with Megan Kraft and Haley Hallgren of USC, who are 9-1. And you know, obviously they've got more season to go, but they've been showing they can take care of business when needed. And they've been put into the clutch spot right there, the number threes, and and they're delivering. So I'm going to drop those two. Let's go back to you, Charlie.
A team that shockingly has not been mentioned yet, but Julia Scholes and Haley Harward.
Well, I knew someone would, so I didn't want to mention that.
I know we were all waiting to see who it was going to be that said it, but yeah. Julia and Haley, I mean, they're incredible. We all know.
And how about you, Mads? And you can mention a teammate, because there's one I'm looking at in the number fives, but I'll mention if you don't.
Oh my gosh, with yours. All my so good. I was going to say our threes or our fives, Maddie Anderson and Sarah Putt, undefeated, and then also Kate Privet and Jenna Johnson at the fives, undefeated. Both are just huge for our team, securing those wins day in and day out. So either of those pairs are incredible.
Yep. Well, if there's any more to add, we, you know, I definitely jump in. You know, I definitely have my few, but we've named quite a few already. So Charlie, you feel like you got all yours out? Mads, you guys, need to drop anyone else?
I mean, I think that we could go off naming teams that should be all Americans for the entirety of the night. We've seen that this NCAA beach volleyball scene this year is by far probably the most talented NCAA beach volleyball and the most depth that NCAA beach volleyball has ever seen. To have some of these teams that could be, I mean, I don't know. It's just fantastic to see. There are incredible teams at every single flight in any of the top 20 that you look at.
Yeah. You know, I'm not going to expect you guys to answer this because I was actually thinking about it as we were going over our midseason All-Americans, but gosh, Coach of the Year would be up in the air because teams are performing really well. And that usually is because the coaches are finding the right combos and are deploying the right strategies and doing their work as far as scouting other teams and developing the strategy. You know, I like getting into the geekiness of like the planning of games. You know, you guys are watching videos, you guys are charting their shots. But I mean, I know coaches and their staffs are doing that. So I'd hate to be the one picking the Coach of the Year right now.
Oh my gosh, that's gonna be such a hard decision. So many teams are doing so good.
I think it probably, maybe you just have to win the national championship and make it easier for the people, right?
Exactly.
So any other things we've missed this week that we should be looking out for? I know it's Easter weekend, so it's going to be a family weekend, but we're watching a lot of good volleyball. You know, we've technically only got about 3 weeks of the season left and then the conference tournaments, but I'm looking forward to a lot more action and a lot of more movement, especially in that, you know, beyond the 10 range. I feel like some teams can make some good moves here. Obviously, Charlie's team made a big move this last week, and we're looking for Florida State and LSU to come against the West, I guess, pair powers right now, because, you know, the Cardinal are hanging back there along with Cal Poly, just waiting with bated breath to see who can puncture that top four. So this is going to be a great battle to watch this weekend. Mats, are you aware of USC streaming? Have you been notified of anything from a team perspective? I know UCLA is doing all theirs through Pac-12.
I haven't heard anything yet. Okay. I'm hoping that they stream it though.
Yeah. And how about your matches? Are they going to be Pac-12s, Charlie?
They won't be Pac-12, but I believe Stanford will be running a live stream.
Okay, awesome. Well, I'm going to make a plug for volleyballmag.com. They have a listing of streams and TV showings of all the matches that they're able to get links on. So I encourage all of you listeners, viewers, to go and click onto there, or even just go to these teams' social media platforms or their websites. They'll have all the information there. Again, Mads Fitzpatrick of Florida State, Charlie Ekstrom of Stanford University. Thank you again for coming on. Looking forward to what the results will bring for next week. And hopefully it will be truly a even happier Easter weekend for your programs and your families.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having us.
Yes. Thank you as always. Always a blast.
Hey y'all. Thanks for listening to today's episode of the Viral Volley Podcast. Be sure to follow Rob at Rob on the Mic on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, or at robonthemic.com. Check you next time.